Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of an amazing series, Rest in Christ. You need that rest today, and so do I. And we're glad you've joined us as we look at the rhythms of rest in our study today. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. Welcome to the team. Welcome, Christian, who's going to be leading our class today. Great to have you with us again. And welcome to our remote team members. Marianella joining us. Marianella, good to have you with us. Addison, good to have you with us. And Shayna, good to have you with us again, too. We're thankful that we can expand our audience, our team, I should say, not audience, even though we have restrictions in the studio. And we're just glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. It's always good to hear from you. Write to us, please. Tell us how God is blessing you through a study of His Word. sshope@hopetv.org. Mayline writes from Kenya and says, Hope Sabbath School has been a great blessing to me and my family for the past couple of years. I can't actually tell when I started following Hope Sabbath School, but it's really helped me grow in my Bible study. Amen. And my teaching of the Bible at my local church. Well, I'm going to use my favorite Hebrew word. Hallelujah. Take that outline, use it, start an in-depth Bible study. More so during the pandemic when we had worship at home. Hope Sabbath School has been my favorite companion. Amen. We sing together. We even answer the questions as if we're part of the panel. May God bless you. I feel so connected. I know each one of you by name. Well, Mayline, thanks for writing from Kenya. Isn't that beautiful? What a testimony. Lindale writes from the island of Antigua. Antigua? In the Caribbean? I hail from the sunny and beautiful Antigua, the land with 365 white sandy beaches. Wow. One for every day.
Wow.
You can go to a different beautiful beach every day. Many souls here need the Lord, Lindale writes. I enjoy Hope Sabbath School, and I watch it to enhance my own study of the Bible. That's good. I use the outlines, especially when it's my turn to teach the Bible class. Thank you, and may God bless you all. Well, Lindale, we're glad you're not only being blessed by the study, but sharing the Word of God with others. Here's a note from a donor, handwritten, from Arizona in the United States of America. And the donor writes and says, more than ever, prophecy has become incredibly real as events globally are shaping the world for the soon coming of Jesus. Amen. What do you think? You're doing a great work sharing the wonderful love of Jesus. We'll keep praying for the work of the Holy Spirit to reach hearts and lives in these last days of Earth's history. God's abundant blessings on your ministry and a donation of $1,000 to help Hope Sabbath School.
Wow.
Thank you, Arizona. And thank you, Hope Sabbath School supporters, wherever you are. You can go to hopetv.org/donate. We appreciate you being part of the miracle with us. Thank you for your support. Here's a note from Katie in Australia. We have quite a few Hope Sabbath School members in Australia, don't we? Thank you so much for your willingness to serve God. It's evident in your faces that God is with you. Amen? That's what we pray for, isn't it, when we begin our study? And that you have a personal, close, and strong relationship with God. I live in a small country town in Australia, and many weeks, Hope Sabbath School is my Bible study class. Thanks for allowing God to let you be a blessing in the lives of others. Well, Katie, from that small country town in Australia, we're glad you're part of our family, too. One last note from Yvetta in Ohio in the United States. Greetings, Hope Sabbath School.
Reading.
You get a wave. Thank you for keeping hope alive. I'm thankful we can tune in and study along with Hope Sabbath School. God is blessing as I grow daily in my walk with Jesus.
Amen.
Singing the scripture songs also helps me to remember the Word of God. Enjoy a blessed and productive day. Well, Iveta, thank you for that invitation, because as Christian will be leading us in our Bible study today, we're praying God would work in miraculous ways. We're going to sing our theme song in just a moment, but before we do, we do have a special gift. Maybe you've already requested it. This theme song, Come to Me from the Words of Jesus, plus 11 other scripture songs, we'd like to give them as a gift to bless your family. All you have to do is go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, click on the Get Free Gift button. It's that simple. You'll get a link and download all of those beautiful songs, including this theme song. Let's sing it together. I'm excited about our study today. And Christian, thanks for leading us in prayer as we begin.
All right, let's bow our heads together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful to have this time and opportunity to be able to open the scriptures and be able to search the scriptures, because we know that in doing so, we will find hope. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit would join us now as we study together, as we share together. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher.
Amen.
As we begin, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I love cultural diversity. Mm. You know, I love learning from various traditions. In fact, here at Hope Sabbath School, we have a pretty good representation. That's, you know, right. We have Sabina from Brazil. We have Gladys from Dominican Republic. We have Billy from Haiti. You know, I'm from Argentina. And what I love about a culture is that every culture has unique traditions that they practice when they worship God. And it's been my joy, you know, over the years as I've traveled to different countries to experience that that worship as expressed by various cultures. And there's a tradition in many churches here in the United States that practice an affirmation of faith with a call and response. It's very simple, and it goes something like this. The leader begins by saying, God is good. And then the congregation responds, all the time. And then the leader echoes by saying, all the time. And then the congregation responds by saying, God is good. And why don't we try that here at Hope Sabbath School just now? And for those joining us from home, why don't you say it with us? Are you ready? God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. 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 You know, and the psalmist David wrote about it. In fact, I want to take you to a verse, Psalms 106, verse 1. Amy, could you read that for us?
Sure, and I'm reading from New King James Version, Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Amen. And because he is good, I can rest in him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, when I think about God's character really speaks to the heart. And when we begin to recognize that God's character is good, then it must be that everything he does is also good. I'd like to begin our study today by going to the book of Genesis. Let's go to the book of beginnings, the very first book of the Bible. And there we discover that the creation of a perfect world is recorded right there in the very first chapter of the very first book. And as we take a close look at each day of creation, I can't help but to notice that there are certain words and even phrases that are repeated throughout this inspired account of creation. Mm-hmm. For example, the record shows that the record of each day begins with the words, then God said. Did you notice that? Then God said. Then God said. Then God said. For me, that tells me that God's spoken word has creative power.
Amen.
And when God speaks, he speaks substance and life into existence. It's a powerful God. And then I can't help but to notice that each day ends with the same phrase. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then the evening and the morning were the second day, the third day, and so on and so forth. But let me ask you, as we read through that account of creation, what specific theme do you recognize in the account? What specific theme do you see repeated in this account of creation? Does anything pop out at you? Yes, Gladys.
That everything was good.
Everything was good. Did everyone else notice that?
Yeah.
It was good. It was good. It was good. In fact, the word good is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, verse 10, verse 12, verse 18, verse 21, verse 25, and verse 31. That's seven times. Seven times the word good is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1. And what's interesting is that the seventh mention is very good. As a reflection on all creation. It's like a phrase that encompasses the entire creative work of God. But more than just words, what idea do we get about God's character? What does it reveal about his character that what God does is good? Does that reveal something about the character of our Creator, the character of our God? What do you think? Sabina?
Yeah, absolutely, Christian. I think it reveals that God is good all the time, as we were responding here to you, and that he is a God of love and excellence. You know, his goodness is reflected in the creation around, and I think that's, you know, part of his character.
Yeah, that's wonderful. He's a God that we can approach because he's good.
Yes.
And what he does is good. And You know, and as we can agree that God's creation was perfect, did you notice that the creation of humanity follows a different pattern? It uses the personal phrase, let us make. Mm-hmm. Let us make. That's a different command. It's different wording than the previous commands that God gave, mm-hmm. you know, during the week. And the creation account of the human family is recorded in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, as well as chapter 2, verse 7 and 23 to 25. And Jason, why don't you read those passages for us, as it gives us an account of the human race and God's creation.
All right, I have the New King James Version here. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Mm. All right. Very good. Thank you, Jason. And so based on what we just read, what are some unique aspects of the creation of the human race? Unlike any other creation prior to that, what's unique about God's creation of the man and the woman? Yes, Billy.
Yeah, that were made in his image.
They were made in his image. Yes, Addison.
Well, I see a contrast. On the other days of creation and the other things that God created, they all were good. But as according to the psalmist, he spoke, it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Here, God, he creates us in his own image, but from the dust of the ground or from the dirt of the ground, it's a lot more of a of an intimate experience where God is fashioning man, as we're going to read later.
Ah, excellent insight. Yes, Shayna, you had your hand up.
Addison actually reiterated my point. We were, you'd say that more thought and intention was put into our creation because we were handmade. We were fashioned after his likeness, and it's just a reflection of his love for us.
I like the way you put that. We were handmade. You know, something that is handmade has a special something special to it, doesn't
it?
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm just wondering, Christian, people maybe joining Hope Sabbath School for the first time and hearing this, this is a radical departure from the fact that we're here by chance. Time and chance, as survival of the fittest, and then we die. Yeah. This says that our life has purpose. Yeah. That if there is a creator God, which is the theme of the whole Bible, and I like the handmade, that's beautiful.
Yes.
That God not only created us, but he was intimately involved in the shaping of the human family.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so the human, that's both man and woman, were created in the image of God as physical, intellectual, social, and spiritual beings. So with the Bible and the Bible only as our point of reference, what conclusion can we make about the origin of life on this planet? What can we conclude based on the account as recorded in the book of Genesis? What conclusion can be made?
We're God's special treasure.
We're God's special treasure. Yes.
We're not an accident. God intentionally created what he created. And, you know, just going back to this idea that it was good, it was very good, to me implies that God is enjoying creation. It's not just that he created it, but that, like, he's got emotion involved. He's enjoying it.
Yes. And what I heard you say too, Amy, is that when God created life, he created life fully mature, ready to enjoy life to the fullest. You know, in the beginning, God created an inhabited planet, as we see here in Genesis, Adam and Eve, and he tells them, be fruitful and multiply. And he created an inhabited planet because he could. He's God. He's able. He's the eternal, omnipotent creator. There's nothing that can stop a creator like that mm-hmm. from creating anything he wants. So the question I would have then is this. Why would the creator want to create an inhabited planet? Mm-hmm. Why did he do this? After all, he is an eternal God. Why did God create an inhabited planet? Mm-hmm. Billy, what are your thoughts on
that? I'll take a stab at it. I think it goes back to, you know, who God is. God is love. And, you know, how can you show love? How can you demonstrate love? And you have to have somebody mm-hmm. else in order to do that. Mm-hmm. So God is love by himself, but without people or other beings, let's say, to share that love, it's hard to define him then. So I think, you know, out of his abundance of love, it's almost like, you know, when two people get married, they want to have, you know, kids. They want to share that love with other people. So I think that could be part of the reason why, you know, he created us. And there could be other reasons, but I think his very nature of being a God of love could be the driving reason.
Yes, the driving reason. I like the way you put that, the driving reason. God is good. God is love. Mm-hmm. And he thought it was good to create someone that he can love mm-hmm. and be loved by. Yeah. That's the character of God. Oh, thank you for sharing that. You know, one of my favorite themes in the Bible, it's God's creative ability. For me, that reveals a God that I can go to and that he will provide anything I need. Because mm-hmm. after all, he's the creator God. In fact, the fact that he creates is, by many biblical authors, the very thing that distinguishes him from other gods.
Mm-hmm.
The fact,
gods,
other
right?
false gods, mm-hmm. that he's able to create. Mm-hmm. He spoke life into existence. And so when you think about God's creative activity, can you think of Bible examples of God's creative ability? And I'm going to challenge you to give me a few examples from both the Old and New Testament. Can you think of a couple of examples of God's creative activity outside of Genesis? Let's go outside of the book of Genesis and see what we can find. Yes, Jason?
So it's referenced in many places in Scripture that God created the plan of salvation before the formation of the earth. And so this is interesting. This isn't a physical item, but the whole idea, the structure of the plan of salvation is something that God put together. And you see the whole story of the plan of salvation lived out in the life of Christ.
I like that. Yes, Sabina.
I'm thinking of Psalms 139, especially verses 13 and 14.
Okay.
When it says that God has formed us in our inward parts and covered us in our mother's womb. So I think that every time there is a conception,
yes.
God's work, God's creative power is at work. Even if indirectly Amen. Through the bodies of those that he created for that purpose, he is still speaking life every time a life comes to be.
Amen, amen. I love that. And I don't know the stats, but how many births are there every second on planet Earth? Thousands? So every second, Kate testifies of God's creative activity in the birth and the conception of a child. Wow, I like that perspective. Yes, Marianela.
Yes, no, I was going to point out the manna that was given to the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. And food really from heaven that God gave them. And he had great power to do that. And it reminds me of how he does care for us. Even when the children of Israel were in the desert, no water, no food, and he still provided for them.
Amen, amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, Shaina.
To continue on Sabina's point of creation, I'm thinking about Jesus, his ultimate creation. It's humanly impossible for a baby to be formed without the act of conception. And yet his mom, Mary, conceived and she was a virgin. And so I think that was another example of God's ability to create.
Amen, amen. That's a prime example. And then, of course, the life of Jesus.
displays creative activity time and time again with every miracle, every miracle he performed. And so here we have a creator God, going back to Genesis now, let's go back to Genesis, who in 6 days, according to the Genesis account, he created the sun, moon, and stars. He created the firmament, the skies above. He created the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. He created the mammals and the reptiles and every creeping thing, the Bible says. And then, of course, his masterpiece, the man and the woman. And after 6 days, his work was finished. But there's still a gift, if I could call it a gift, a gift that the Creator God gives to Adam and Eve. And this is the creation of a day of rest. You know, how many of us have to admit, can admit, that we tend to waste time? Wow, am I the only one?
Yes. The only one who admits.
That's right. You know, but here's a God that is able to do something that no human being could ever imagine doing, and that is creating time. I wish I could do that. There are days that I wish I had 6 more hours, but there's only 24. Yeah. But God creates time. Mm-hmm. He creates time. And the creation of a day of rest is recorded in the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And Billy, could you read that for us? Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the NIV. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
So with the character of God in mind, remember, he is good. He is good. He is love. There's no question that God does something different in the creation of the seventh day. It's uniquely distinct from all the other 6 days. How does this inspired account describe the creation of the Sabbath? What are some distinct characteristics of God's activity, or the way that God created this 24-hour period known as the seventh day? What are some unique characteristics? Yes, Gladys?
Well, he says that he blessed it.
Okay.
He declared it holy, and then he rested from all the work in his creation. So he made a special anointing on that day. It was like a sanctuary in time that he created.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the word blessed it, he blessed it. Is there something more significant about that act of blessing than what one might think? Any thoughts on what it means that God blessed this day? Any thoughts on that? Yes, Billy?
Well, I don't have an exact answer, but something that does, I think, relate to that is the fact that the way I see it is that he created that monument for us to look back and remember basically that contemplation of creation. And it reminds me of, I think, when Joshua was crossing over to Canaan, and he went into place a monument so that people can remember what God had done. And I think that's something that God had, you know, created, that the Sabbath was a time for us to remember that creation, to remember God and to fellowship with him. So it's sort of like a monument that could allow, that can be a blessing to remember, you know, who God is, and, you know, that he is good and that he is love.
Amen. Yes, Derek.
You know, Christian, to me, the Sabbath is brilliant because Billy used the word monument, but monument's fixed. It's stuck somewhere over there in the other part of the world. But time, it comes with us. And it wasn't just that he blessed a seventh day at the end of creation, but he blessed the day. So every week, it's with us wherever we are on the planet. To me, it's it's an amazing gift, because it's for the whole human family wherever we are. It's not limited by by space.
I love the way you put that. And he also sanctified it, and he blessed on it. And we'll come back to the word sanctified, and we'll dig a little deeper into the meaning of that word. But for now, we realize that God himself rested on the Sabbath. But yet, did you notice, though, that when you look at that passage, there is no explicit mention of Adam and Eve being asked to rest. Mm-hmm. There is no mention at this point of that the family, the human family, should rest as well. Who can tell me where there is a command where we are called to rest each Sabbath day? Where's the well-known passage of resting? Yes, Marianela?
Yes, it's found in Exodus 20.
Oh, yes. Very good. Could you read that for us?
Yes. I wanted to point out something to you in, I can hear about that in Genesis 2. God says he rested from the work, right, that he did, but he doesn't say that Adam and Eve, they had just created on the sixth day, right? So Adam and Eve were tired, and they weren't tired enough to have to like completely rest from work. I think maybe God showed them an example of what that would look like on the first Sabbath when he asked them to, you know, worship and sanctify it with him on the second Sabbath, after they had worked the first week after being created. I don't know, it's something that I've been pondering some more about, like, how God, he worked that first week and rested, even though he didn't have to rest himself, because he doesn't get tired, right?
Right.
But Adam and Eve, they were just created. Do you think they were tired? They had just been created. I think he said that Sabbath with them, and he says there in verse, Genesis chapter 2, that after he rested, he blessed it and sanctified his act. So I think he gave him an example of what it would be like to sanctify and rest in his act. But yes, back to Exodus 20, then he gives us a command in verse 8.
Okay, read for us verses 8 to 11.
Verse 8 to 11 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your maidservant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it.
Thank you very much. So there at the heart of the fourth commandment, we find a command to keep the Sabbath holy. In fact, the imperative mood of the verb expresses a command. Mm-hmm. So it's not merely a suggestion or a recommendation, it's a command. Mm-hmm. You know, and the question I have is, why is the keeping the Sabbath holy given as a command and not just simply a recommendation? Mm. You know, I'm a father of two children, and we homeschool them. And there are times when I could see that they're hard at work. They've been really intense and focused on some project or assignment. And as a father and as the teacher, I'll go up to them and I'll say, listen, why don't you take a break? Just rest for a while. But I pose it as an idea, something that I recommend as an option. And there's times that they say, no, Papi, I got to finish this. I'll be done. And they don't take a break. And I just say, okay, whatever, you know, if you're good, I'm good. And we go on with our day. But not so with God. God doesn't just give a recommendation or even a strong recommendation. No, God gives a command. And the question is why? What's the significance of that? Yes, Jason?
Well, you as a human, you may not, you generally know what your children need, but you may not know perfectly. Whereas God, he's our creator. He knows us. He knows what we need. And he knows that we need rest. It's a not just a recommendation, because it's a requirement for ourselves. And so he's reminding us, look, this is a requirement for you. You need to be able to rest to function.
Oh, to rest to function. Oh, that's a good thought. Yes, Addison.
Well, a word that comes to mind is preservation. Preservation for humanity. An interesting example, as we look in history, during the French Revolution, there was a, you could say, an unsuccessful attempt to change the weekly cycle. They wanted to change it from a 7-day to a 10-day, and that proved to be very unsuccessful. And so even our bodies, we operate on a 7-day cycle. And then God says, here's a day that I have made holy, I've sanctified, that you can rest on, that you can fully, you can contemplate the works of my creation and spend more time with me in a very special way. And so it's a tremendous gift. And also, too, note that on the fourth commandment, that's the only commandment that has the name and the title of the lawgiver. And I think that in itself also shows the authenticity and the binding force of the Sabbath commandment.
Amen, amen. Yes, Derek.
While you were reading, I flashed back to when we used to travel more before all of the COVID restrictions, where I would rent cars. And you rent a car, when you're going to put fuel in it, it will say, for example, unleaded fuel only. That is not a suggestion. You ruin the car if you put diesel fuel into that car. I see that as, again, back to the loving creator saying, I'm trying to protect you. So this is not optional. This is something that I really want you to do. And I think when we begin to do it experientially, we realize the huge blessing that this gift is. But I just thought of that, you know, if you do, if you ignore that, it's going to be damaging.
Yes, yes. And not just damaging for the people that he spoke that commandment to, namely the Jews, but this sounds to me like something that would be applicable or relevant to the entire human race. You know, there are those that would conclude that the Sabbath is strictly a Jewish practice, a Jewish Sabbath. But what teaching of Jesus confirmed that the Sabbath was not something given to just the Jews, but to the human race? Is there a verse that comes to mind where we find even Jesus himself, the New Testament, addressing this and speaking directly to it? Jason?
Sure. So a verse that comes to mind is Mark 2:27.
Okay.
If you let me read that.
Please read that for us.
I have the New King James Version here, and it says, Mark 2:27, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath.
All right. Now, Jason, are you a Greek scholar?
No, I'm not.
Well, I discovered something very insightful. And but it's the Greek that really brings this out. The Greek word translated man is anthropos, which means human being. It's where we get the word anthropology is, you know, in the English language, which means the study of humanity. And so here Jesus is speaking about the Sabbath as a gift given to the human race. And when Jesus spoke about the Sabbath time and time again, he often spoke about the purpose of the Sabbath. And he spoke with divine authority. When people heard Jesus speak, there's a few instances in the Gospels where it says that they were in awe because he spoke as a man with authority. What gave his voice authority? Do we have an insight of what made Jesus different than any ordinary man? Yes, Gladys?
Well, we talked about that you know, God made, the Sabbath was handmade by God. Mm. So he was the one who made it.
He's the one.
He's the one. So in verse 28, right there in Mark, when we were reading, they said, the Lord, the Son of Man is Lord. Mm. I'm the owner of it, of the Sabbath. So he is his stamp, his gift to us.
Amen, amen. So he's not just any ordinary man. Like you said, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. And the Lord of the Sabbath is the Lord God who created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
Oh, yes, Derek.
Maybe someone wants to read it, but I just want to say, I think the first chapter of John is one of the most important chapters in the entire Bible.
Yes.
Because there may be many people in the world, including people watching today, they've heard of Jesus, and he seemed to be a very loving and kind teacher, a compassionate person. Mm-hmm. But the Gospel of John, under the inspiration of the Spirit, makes a startling claim.
Yes, he does.
About the one who we call Jesus.
Yes, and I know that passage that you're speaking of, and we should take time to read it. Shana, could you read for us John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and then we'll add verse 14, and we'll see why in a minute.
Okay, so I'll be reading John 1. Verses 1 to 3 and verse 14 from the King James Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. Wow. That is powerful.
Yes.
The Word was God, and the Word is God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I can't help but to think of the verse, I believe it's in the book of Acts, where it says that Jesus went about doing what? Doing good. Doing good. Ah, there's that word that links us to the Genesis account, to the creation account, a God who creates and declares it is good, a God who is good, a God who does good. Yes, Billy.
And that's the same theme in Exodus 20 when we've read the fact that, you know, we are also commanded to do good, because when you look at the verse, it talks about the fact that, yes, you know, you should rest, but don't forget your servants. Don't forget the animals. So it created that justice system where God was commanding, and unfortunately he had to commend us to be good to other people too, because we as human beings, we tend to abuse the privileges that we have. So the strangers that come to our gates, the animals, we tend to abuse them. And even on the Sabbath, let's say we can overwork some people. So God created a time where everybody was equal. Everybody deserved to be treated well, respected, whatever your class is, whatever your gender is, and that, so the Sabbath basically is a manifestation of that goodness.
Amen. A manifestation of that goodness. I love that. And, you know, and we take note that the Sabbath was sanctified. It was set apart from the other 6 days. And when I think about the word sanctified, you know, it means to set apart and declare holy. But what's interesting is that when one studies the scriptures, one discovers that God transitions from sanctifying a day to sanctifying a people. And when I think about that, it's quite revealing what he did during creation week. Because how many of us know Genesis 1:1? I mean, by memory. Right. You know, all hands go up. You know, I think I memorized that when I was in cradle roll. Well, maybe not cradle roll, but kindergarten. Pretty close.
Prodigy.
But how about Genesis chapter 1, verse 2? Who knows verse 2? The hands don't go up as quickly. Gladys, what does verse 2 say?
It said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was dark and void.
Okay. Other translations also say the earth was without form and void. And did you ever notice that the sequence of days and what God did in each day follows that pattern of creating the form and then filling the void. Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Boy, if that's something you've never noticed, take a close look, and it is quite an amazing insight, okay? Because in the first 3 days of creation, God creates the form, light, firmament, and the dry land. That's the form, but it's empty. Mm-hmm. It's void. Mm. It's void. And then in days 4, 5, and 6, what does God do? He fills the void. Okay, so he fills the void with the sun, moon, and stars, the form of light. He fills it with sun, moon, and stars. He fills the sky with birds, the oceans with fish. He fills the dry land with animals and with mankind. Yeah. And what's interesting is that the seventh day becomes the seventh day, and it's an odd number. It stands alone. There's no pair that goes with the seventh day. But yet God continues that same pattern in that you and I become the form and we turn to God to fill us with who he is. We are empty and he is holy. And when he fills us with who he is, we experience the work of sanctification in our lives. The Sabbath becomes a celebration of who God is and what he desires to do in our life. And there's no question that the God in whose presence is the fullness of joy, he wants us to experience the joy of the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a passage found in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14, that speaks about delight in the context of the Sabbath. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to ask Amy if she would read that for us. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14.
Okay, and I'm reading from New King James Version, Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken.
So there's a reference there of delighting in the context of the Sabbath. You know, and as you think about your own personal experience and how meaningful the Sabbath is in your life, you know, how can we be as disciples of Christ, as the Lord of the Sabbath, how can we help our friends and even family members discover the Sabbath with new eyes or experience the Sabbath in ways that fills the heart with delight? You know, what can we do? Let's think of some practical things that we could do to be able to lead our friends and families to experience that. Yes, Gladys?
I think the best way is not to make it a burden, because sometimes we just focus on the things that we, you know, cannot do. You shouldn't do this. We make man-made rules of things that we cannot do. And that makes it a burden, especially for young people. But when you make it a delight, you just, you know, prepare their favorite meals, go on a picnic, go visiting somebody that is sick or that it needs some help. It just creates a different type of atmosphere that people actually get to see the blessing of the Sabbath.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Sabina?
What I'm thinking also, Christian, is that the Sabbath, as you were discussing here, was not created for, you know, coming out and doing work or thinking of what are the things we have or we are supposed to do, but primarily to be in a relationship with God. So I think that the way that we can better teach others or help others to enjoy and have delight in his day is primarily helping them to have a delight in a relationship with Christ.
Amen.
They come into that day, for them it's enjoyable, not for the things they will be doing, but the things that they might be doing in order to be part of that relationship, you know, and connecting with other people, reading their Bible, praying together, coming to the congregation with other people where they can enjoy the same type of relationship. So I think that for me, what's the most important.
Amen, I love that. Yes, Shayna, why don't you share with us, what are your thoughts?
I think that in order for it to be contagious, for me, trying to convince someone that the Sabbath is a delight, I first have to believe that it's delightful. I first have to find joy in the day, find the rest in Christ that he offers. And personally, I find the Sabbath delightful because it's a day that I get to be one with God in nature, and to find the new truths that he's revealed to me in his word that I may have missed out on during the week because the hustle and the bustle. But it's truly believing for myself, and then I can, the contagion of my belief can spread to my family and friends.
Mm, I like that. Yes. Marianela.
Yes, I just wanted to share a quick testimony because I got to talk about this topic with a lady I met in the park with her children. And she told me, she says, I have to go home. I'm so excited. I left all my, the food is ready. Everything's ready because my husband's been away. And he was out working for a week or 2 weeks, and this, her name is Veronica, so if she ever watches, I just want her to know that her testimony is very powerful because she told me, she says, I've left the food ready, the house is clean, the kids are gonna be so excited to be with their father when he comes home. And we had just been talking a little bit about what the Sabbath was, and I said, you know, the Sabbath is a celebration, kind of like what you're about to experience when your husband gets home and you haven't seen him for a long time. It's because it's part of that relationship. You're going to meet with your God. You're going to meet with our, you know, Heavenly Father on that day. And it's a moment of getting together and making the best meal at home for your family and spending that time with your family, worshiping God. And in a sense, my experience reminded me too, yes, we're going to meet our boom, you know, we're going to meet our Heavenly Father, and that having that relationship on Sabbath is a celebration and not a burden. You're looking forward to it during the whole week. You're looking forward to that Sabbath and spend time with God.
That's awesome. Yes, Addison, I saw your hand as well.
Well, I thought of the words, the phrase from the author of Hebrews chapter 12, where he said, look to Jesus, looking to Jesus. That's what we need to be doing. He is our example. He came to take down some of these unnecessary, these arbitrary man-made laws and restrictions, and to establish, to reestablish the beauty, the authenticity of the Sabbath. And that could be our experience as well. We can go out and serve others on the Sabbath, be a blessing to those around us, and reflect his love.
Amen. And, you know, I couldn't help but to realize that the word, the picture that was presented with your experiences or your responses is relationship and delighting in the Lord.
Amen.
In the Lord. When I find myself responding to a command that was given to me by someone that I love and I'm loved by, isn't it true that it becomes a joy to fulfill their request, to fulfill their command? It's something that is motivating because you're loved by them and you love them. And so I find that delighting in the Lord, as Sabine, as you pointed out, it's the key to discovering the delight of keeping the Sabbath, of celebrating that relationship with him. Mm-hmm. You know, and as we close here, you know, we've talked about, you know, how we can inspire others to discover the delight of the Sabbath. But would anyone like to share just a brief testimony of an experience you've had, or maybe a tradition in your family or in your life that you practice on a weekly basis that just really brings joy to your Sabbath? What are some things that you do? And for our viewers here today, you know, you can listen, and maybe there's some ideas that you've never thought of before. But what do you do to delight in the Sabbath? What practices do you have as a family? I know, Amy, you know, you and your husband, you've served overseas as missionaries, and I'm sure you've had many opportunities to connect with God, you know, on the Sabbath. What are some of the practices that you recall, maybe even in the mission field?
Yeah. Two things that we really tried to focus on Sabbath was, one, spending a little bit of time in nature.
Okay.
Especially when we were living in a big city, you know, it's hard to see nature. And so I actually had a microscope, and we would take it out, and I'd challenge my kids, find the smallest thing that you can. Mm-hmm. And then find the smallest thing that you can that's human-made, and let's compare them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'd bring me a safety pin or something. You look at it, or paper, you know. Paper's really not that smooth when you look at it under a microscope. Mm-hmm. A pin really isn't that sharp when you look at it under a microscope. But when you look at the wing of a butterfly, or you look at the petal of a leaf, I mean, it's just incredibly intricate. Mm. Like, the closer you get, the more perfect it gets. And so connecting with nature or something like that, and then also service, going out. Just this last Sabbath, we went down into Washington, D.C. and handed out food to some of the homeless people and just connected with them.
Awesome.
And
doing good on the Sabbath.
Doing good. Yeah, and, you know, yeah. Jesus said that. He said, do good, not so that people see your works, but so that they see your Father in heaven. They see your works and they glorify your Father.
Thank
and
you
so,
yes.
Yeah, service is a big part of Sabbath for me.
Wow, wow. And I loved the way you described that activity of taking a close look at simple things, like even the leaf, and seeing it with new eyes. Mm-hmm. And my invitation to you today is that you would discover the Sabbath with new eyes, that you would be able to delight in the Sabbath, not merely because it's the seventh day of the week, but because the Lord of the Sabbath wants to invite you to delight in Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Christian. What a blessing. I'm still remembering back to when my parents, they were teenagers at the time. I was in utero, my brother, a little baby, when they first learned about the Sabbath, and they thought they were the only people on the planet that knew about it. But God has many people who've discovered the beauty of the Bible Sabbath, and that it is a time to celebrate a relationship with our great and awesome God. Let's pray that we can experience those rhythms of rest, especially on the Sabbath, but all through the week, through our relationship with God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we've seen another revelation of how much you love us and want to spend time with us, even to spend time with us throughout eternity. May we rejoice in your love today. May we rest in your presence, and thank you especially for the gift of Sabbath rest. Thank you for your blessings and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. What a paradigm shift from seeing things as a list of rules and regulations to a gift of a day to enjoy a loving relationship with our Creator. I pray that you'd experience that blessing each Sabbath and rest in your relationship with Him each day. And then go out and be a blessing to those around you.